朋友，你在收听的是活在耶稣里网站提供的福乐人生讲坛。今天的讲员是李秀全牧师。愿神的话语滋润你的心田，使你能更好地认识神和认识自己，并坚定地信靠神。
在圣经里面，我们如果要看建立教会的蓝图的话，
If we were wanting to trace the blueprint of building the body of Christ within Scripture,
弟兄姊妹，我们不能不读以弗所书。
I think that it would be a necessity for us to read Ephesians.
在以弗所书六章的圣经里面，
And within the six chapters of Ephesians,
跟建立教会有关系的，刚才我们所读的这段经文有直接的关系。
We see that there is a direct correlation, especially in the verses that we have read, with building the body of Christ.
我相信刚才陈英弟兄带我们所读的这段经文，对在座的一般基督徒来讲是相当熟悉的。
I'm sure that for many Christians amongst us, this passage is very familiar.
但是我不知道你的感觉怎么样。
But I don't know what your feeling was.
我相信许多的弟兄姊妹每一次读这一段圣经，好像对这段圣经里面要整理出来的思路，好像前后都不是一样。
And it seems hard to exactly, bring out several titles or to organize Paul's thoughts in this passage.
弟兄姊妹，我们要了解一段的经文。
And in order, I think, for us to understand a particular passage,
我们需要圣灵来帮助我们。
We need the help of the Holy Spirit.
但是弟兄姊妹，我们也需要在主的面前好好的把这一段的经文放在我们面前的圣经，能够把它读懂，能够看通。
But also we need to, read the Bible or the scripture, the passage before us to the point in which we understand what it's talking about.
在我们应用这段圣经之前，
And before we begin to apply this passage,
当我们解释这段圣经之前，
while we're still in interpreting this passage,
我们要先把这段圣经，特别是在这段圣经里面保罗这个作者的思路把它整理出来。
It's especially important that we bring out the mind or the mentality, the logic of Paul in this passage.
当我们把这段圣经的连贯性和逻辑性找出来的时候，
And as we bring out the logical flow as well as the purpose in this passage,
我相信这段圣经的impact 或者影响就会更深入。
I'm sure that the impact that this passage would have would be greater.
很多时候我们读圣经，
A lot of times when we read scripture,
我们太快读完以后就马上跳到说希望知道到底有什么亮光，到底有什么好的一些可以对我们有供应的东西。
We quickly want to jump to, perhaps light that could be shed or something that we could obtain from this scripture.
真正属灵的供应乃是你先把圣经他的思路，他的句法，把它先弄清楚。
But I believe true spiritual nourishment comes first of all from understanding the logic and the flow of a passage.
如果弟兄姊妹你手上有圣经，请你跟着我把这段经先把这个思路先让我们做一点分析。
So we want to first of all examine the flow, the logic of this passage.
我们从第七节今天早上看起，我们发现第七节的语气和前面六节的语气就大不相同。
Very quickly we see, the tone of voice after verse 7 is in contrast to that which is in verse 1 to 6.
从第一节到第六节很清楚我们看见有一个主题，就是一二三四的一。
And we see a theme within the first six verses of Ephesians, and that is the word one.
从七节到十六节有另外一个字跟前面完全不一样，就是个别的个。
And then in the latter part from verse 7 on, we see each being the major theme of that passage.
从第一节到第六节是从那个一保罗强调合一的真理。
And we see in verse 1 to 6, Paul emphasizing that oneness, that we have.
这是我们能够了解的。
I think that it is something that we all can understand.
但是非常稀奇，他从第七节开始。
But very interestingly, from verse 7 on,
他用个别的个来强调合一的见证。
He uses each in order to emphasize this unity or this oneness.
弟兄姊妹，这是今天在我们的信仰里面关于合一的一个奥秘。
And I think this represents a mystery, in our own faith concerning, unity.
一方面，因为我们有共同点，所以我们能够合一。
On the one hand, that we have commonalities between us, therefore we can be united.
但是非常稀奇的，保罗强调一件事情，因为我们的相异点，我们要合一。
But also, Paul emphasizes that we have a common ground or a common factor which causes unity.
我们常常说合一不是化一。
We often say that unity is not conformity.
不是 uniformity 这个 uniformity 的意思就是说今天你跟我穿同样的制服叫做 uniform 这是相同的一个外表
Now if we were to wear the same clothes then from an exterior point of view we would be in uniformity
在圣经里面每一次提到合一的时候
But each time when scripture makes reference to unity
有它的化一性的那个成分在里面
Of course it includes that oneness that is entailed.
但是合一并不就是化一。
But then unity does not equal uniformity.
我们要怎么样能够合一呢
？But how is it that we can be united?
我们要都一样。
We have to be all the same.
我们要完全相同。
That we have to be all identical.
那我们就可以合一。
Only then can we be united.
讲一样的话。
To speak the same language,
做一样的事情
do the same thing,
参加一样的聚会
to attend the same meeting.
但是，亲爱的弟兄姊妹
but dear brothers and sisters,
这可以使我们合一
this can cause us to be united.
但圣经启示我们的合一
but the revelation of what unity that is given us
是超越这个化一性
is far and above this uniformity.
在我们的不同的里面，而能够找到合一的道路，这是。
We see the mystery of the testimony in which that in the midst of diversity there can be unity.
我们知道保罗在以弗所书第五章
and we know that Paul in the fifth chapter of Ephesians
用夫妇的关系来描写教会基督与教会的关系
He used the concept of a husband and wife to illustrate the relationship of Christ in the church.
在我们中间结过婚的人，我们能够了解他里面所说的这个真理。
And I think that those that have been married amongst us, can understand the truth that Paul speaks of.
两个结婚的人
two people after being married,
有很多的不同。
They have many differences.
口味不同。
Perhaps their taste is
背景不同。
Their background is
兴趣不同。
Their interests
就太多的不同。
And there are many differences between them.
当我准备到这里的时候
and as I was preparing to this point,
我就想到我跟师母。
I thought of myself and my wife.
有的时候想想，不知道为什么神把我们两个人结合在一起。
Sometimes I really don't understand how God brought the two of us together.
因为我们两个有很多的不同。
Because we have very great differences.
家庭背景的不同
our family background is
个性不同
our personalities are different.
她喜欢读书，我喜欢玩
She likes to study. I like to play.
她喜欢内向，我比较外向
She's more introverted, and I'm an extrovert.
她喜欢古典，我喜欢流行
She's more classical, and I'm more contemporary.
她喜欢看文学，我喜欢看小说。
And I like to read novels, and she likes to read ancient literature.
她喜欢吃蛋，我喜欢吃辣。
She likes more mild tasting food. I like to eat hot food.
把这些因素加起来。
And to add all of these factors together.
请各位想想看。
Think for a minute.
我们二十六年是怎么过的
？How could we have survived for 26 years?
真是感谢主。
But yet, praise the Lord.
我们在这些不同的里面
that amongst that diversity,
我们能够活出相爱合一的见证
we can live a life of mutual love and oneness.
怪不得保罗用夫妇的关系来描写基督和教会的关系
It is therefore no wonder that Paul would use such an illustration to typify Christ and the church.
所以从第七节我们就开始看见保罗在另外一个思路里面来谈到教会的建造。
From verse 7 on, we see Paul following another track, another frame of mind.
到了第十一节，他讲到上帝赐给教会有不同的职分的人。
To the point of verse 11, when he spoke of the different gifts or the different offices that were given to the church.
很多时候我们会用这段圣经来讲到 gift 就是恩赐。
A lot of times we use this passage to speak about gifts.
我们今天没有时间分析，我们知道讲到属灵的恩赐，在哥林多前书十二章、罗马书十二章都提到恩赐。
Now, though we don't have time today, we know that in the 12th chapter of Romans as well as 1 Corinthians, the area of gifts is spoken about.
在彼得前书第四章也讲到恩赐。
And also in the first epistle of Peter, the 4th chapter.
但是在以弗所书，保罗这里提到的恩赐和其他的恩赐不太一样。
We see Paul here listing or being a different frame of mind when it regards to gifts.
这个地方他提到几种不同职分的恩赐，跟职分连在一起。
And we see here that he is speaking more in terms of the office of these gifts or the office of them.
神把这些职分给了教会。
And we see that these offices were given to the church.
圣经告诉我们说是要成全圣徒。
And it says here that it is to prepare the servants or the people of God.
我们发现中文用成全，英文用 prepare 的意思就有一点不一样，让我们看见神给这些职分是为了装备这些基督徒。
And we see here that preparing carries with it the concept of equipping these children of God.
装备基督徒到一个什么地步？
But yet, what is the point of or the purpose of this equipping?
装备到一个各尽其职的地步。
To the point that until all of us fulfill the ministries that we are called to fulfill.
换句话说，今天神赐这些职分，要来帮助这些弟兄姊妹，让我们能够投入侍奉。
In other words, these gifts were given in order to enable us as brothers and sisters to be involved in ministry.
但是侍奉不是最终的目的。
But yet we see here that ministry is not yet the final purpose of it all.
每一个人到教会里面不做客，这件事情不是我们今天教会成立的一个最终的目的。
And we know that it is not the sole purpose of this church for people to come in as guests to sit here.
圣经告诉我们说，成全圣徒，各尽其职，目的是建立基督的身体。
And we see here that the final purpose is that of building up the body of Christ.
在这里我们看得很清楚，在十二节这个思路很明显。
And so we see that this is the frame, the track that Paul follows.
但是当我们看到十三节以后，就有一点开始好像有一点混乱。
But then in verse 13, it seems to bebe mixed up a bit again.
到底十三节后面所讲的跟十二节的关系是什么呢？
What exactly is the relationship between verse 12 and what follows in verse 13?
我把十二节看成是这一段圣经的主题。
I have placed as the theme of this passage, verse 12.
十三节是提到这个主题的两个原则。
And that two reasons then are given in verse 13.To the purpose of this thing.
耶稣基督的身体怎么样叫做建立起来？
How can it mean to build up the body of Christ?
十三节有一个很清楚的说明。
And we see here in verse 13 a very clear enunciation of what that.
这个说明是两方面。
And we see two aspects.
一方面是同归于一。
We see, first of all, that we reach a unity.
另外一个是长大成人。
We see, secondly, then becoming mature, people.
长大成人，他后面又讲了一句话来解释这个长大成人。
We see that becoming mature then is further detailed on what maturity is all about.
满有基督长成的身量。
That is attaining the full measure of the fullness of Christ.
所以我们起码到现在看到十三节非常清楚保罗的那个思路。
So I think it's clear in terms of Paul's, frame of mind up to this point.
从十四节到十六节，我们就很清楚地看见保罗很具体地提到三个建议。
And verse 14 to 16, very concretely, Paul illustrates it by three examples.
这三个重点是什么？
What are these three illustrations or examples?
我把它看成一个成熟教会的标记。
And I believe that these are marks of.The maturity of a church.
弟兄姊妹，今天我们要进被神带领到一个新的一个境界。
And if we are to be carried by the Lord into a new phase,
十月，今年的十月是教会二十周年。
In October of this year, we celebrate the 20th anniversary of this church.
我们很清楚看见整个神带领的历史。好像到了一个很明显的一个段落。
It seems very clearly that God's direction and leading in the church has come to a new phase or a new beginning.
弟兄姊妹，当我们看这段圣经的时候
，And so as we look at this particular passage,
我们要注意到一件事情。
I think that we would notice one thing.
保罗不是用这段圣经来勉励 个别的基督徒要做成熟的基督徒。
And Paul is not encouraging individual Christians to be mature in the faith.
或者说不只提到个人。
But rather, maybe even better, he's not including it just at an individual basis.
在这段圣经里面，保罗乃是提到教会整体怎么样能够成熟。
But rather, we see here Paul illustrating in how the church body as a whole can reach maturity.
弟兄姊妹，原来我再说一遍。
But allow me to repeat this once.
今天我们在神的面前看重个人的追求是对的。
We emphasize rightly so the individual pursuit before Christ.
但是今天我们在主面前要看见教会整体。
Yet I think we need to also see this maturity in terms of the corporate body of Christ.
中国教会一百八十几年来
180 years of Chinese church history.
我们一直强调的一件事情
We have emphasized one thing repeatedly.
很好
And it's very good.
但是不够
But yet insufficient.
我们过分地强调每一个个人的基督徒与神之间的关系
We overly emphasize the individual relationship that a person has with Christ.
弟兄姊妹，当神带领我们要迈进第二个二十年的时候
But yet, brothers and sisters, as the Lord carries us into the next 20 years,
让我们在神的面前思想到我们怎么样能够以整体的一同来在神的面前长进
Let us think about how corporately we can move ahead to that fullness.
这里提到三件事情
And we see here in these verses three things listed.
十四节告诉我们说，我们不再做小孩子。
First of all, in verse 14, it says, "Let us no longer be infants."
中文叫小孩子，英文叫 infants。英文讲的更小，不要做一个小婴孩。
In the Chinese, it's only "don't be children," but in the English, it's even further down, "don't be infants."
圣经告诉我们说，我们要像小孩子，但是不要做小孩子。
The Bible tells us that we should be like children or infants, but we are not to be infants.
这有分别。
I think that there is a difference there.
在马太福音，主耶稣告诉我们说，我们要像小孩子。
There in Matthew, Jesus tells us that we are to be as little children.
但是保罗在这里告诉我们说，你不要做小孩子。
But Paul here reminds us not to be children.
什么意思呢？
What does it mean?
是不是主耶稣和保罗有冲突，有矛盾？
It means that there is a contradiction between Paul and Jesus.
主耶稣乃是强调我们要像小孩子的天真无邪。
But I think that Jesus very clearly, in reference to being like children, was to illustrate the purity and the innocence of a child.
像小孩子的那个单纯。
To be as simple as a child is.
有的时候我自己问我自己。
A lot of times I ask myself.
已经快年近半百了。
Almost at the half century mark.
在这个社会里面，经过这些年的经历。
After these many years of experience in society.
在这个时代里面，我们发现我们这些人很难不复杂。
And in this day and age, I think it's very clear that it's difficult for us not to be complex.
你在社会里面越久，你越觉得不复杂就要吃亏。
And that the longer we are in society, we find that the longer we're at a disadvantage if we're not complex.
但是我们不用复杂而已。
But yet, I don't think that we want to use just complexity.
我们用智慧，用老练，用这些比较好听的字眼来替自己解释。
We use better words, wisdom and knowledge to describe our complexity.
我不管你用什么话。
But I don't care what word you use to describe it.
主耶稣要我们像小孩子。
Jesus tells us that we are to be like little children.
求主帮助我们，让我们来到教会里面，求主让我们返璞归真。让我们真是有小孩子那样的一个天真无邪、单纯的心。
And let us indeed come before the Lord with that childlike innocence and purity.
有的时候，师母用爱心说诚实话帮助我。
A lot of times, speaking the truth in love, my wife says to me.
她说：“你想的太多了。
You think about too much.
人家讲的话就是这样。
What they said is.That in itself.
你为什么要去举一反三呢？
Why do you have to keep on turning it left and right and over and over again?
我说我从小从这个学校教育就教我要举一反三嘛。
I said I was educated thus.
所以我一直就很聪明，所以举一反三。
So that showed my intellect.
弟兄姊妹，今天在教会里面有许多时候， 我们是聪明反被聪明误。
And yet, I think many times in our smartness, we are deceived.
我们要求主给我们一个像小孩子单纯的心。
And so we need to ask the Lord to give us a faith like a child.
但是不要小孩子气。
But don't let us be childish.
所以保罗在这里说，你不要做小孩子。
And so Paul here exhorts us not to be a child.
小孩子很容易情绪化。
And I think that children are very carried or are easily carried by emotion.
小孩子很容易，听见这里有好东西就去了，很容易盲从。
And it's easy for a child, and hearing there's something good over here, to follow blindly over to there.
我在准备这篇信息的时候，看见 John Stott 一本书，他讲的一句话很有意思。
And as I was preparing, I read a sentence in a book written by John Stott.
他说今天的教会。
He said that today's church,
基督徒是如此，传道人也没有办法例外。
And that just as the believers are, so likewise are the preachers.
他的立场，他的属灵的立场，就是以他最近刚看完的那本书的立场为立场。
That his spiritual temperature is gauged by the book that he just got done reading.
他属灵的感觉是他以最后一次听过的道的那个感觉为感觉。
And that his feelings and emotions toward Christianity are based on the sermon that he just finished hearing.
我想 John Stott 不是要我们不读书，不是要我们不参加聚会敬道。
I don't think John Stott's purpose was not for us not to read or not to hear preaching.
但是他提醒我们一件事情。
But yet he reminds us a certain thing.
不要让我们像小孩子一样，道听途说，人云亦云这样的一个信仰的立场。
That he reminds us not to be carried here and there by the things that we hear.
我刚才用盲从来描写保罗这里所说的小孩子。
Just describe this an infant as or child as following blindly.
因为事实上，保罗在十字节讲得非常清楚，他用风用飘来飘去来形容今天教会的不稳定。
And here he describes the instability of the church as it faces winds and waves blowing hither and yonder.
今天有些个人的基督徒是如此，有些教会也是这个样子。
I think this represents not only individual Christians.But the church corporately.
任风飘荡，随波逐流。
That the church is carried hither and yonder by wind and water.
有一本书的书名叫做《中流砥柱》。有一本书的名字是讲到我们在潮流的里面怎么样能够为信仰能够站立得稳。
There's a book that speaks of how we can stand firm in the midst of the currents.
中流砥柱就是一个成熟的记号。
And I think that this standing firm is a sign of maturity.
今天的教会
in the church today,
好像风浪中的一叶扁舟一样飘来飘去。
The church seems to be like a ship, which is almost like a leaf that is carried by the waves.
没有方向
without any direction.
或者说它有很多方向
or many directions.
他什么方向来就是成为他那个时候的方向。
And whichever direction comes becomes the direction of that church.
保罗告诉我们说有两样东西影响教会。
And so we see here Paul describing as two things influencing the church.
他说人的诡计和欺骗的法术。
He speaks of the deceitfulness of man and the craftiness of man.
什么叫做人的诡计？
But yet what does it mean, the cunning and the craftiness of man?
在原文诡计的意思是什么？
In the original language it reference to
dice throwing, 好像掷这个骰子一样。
It was as if throwing dice in a gambling.
我们知道骰子有六面。
We know that a dice has six faces to it.
一二三四五六。
One, two, three, four, five, six.
有的时候在学校考试的时候。
Sometimes in examinations at school.
有选择题的时候。
And there are multiple choice questions.
我们就把铅笔写了一二三四。
And we write on our pencil one, two, three, four.
我们就在桌上一丢。
And we throw it on our desk.
看见四就写四，看见
二就写二。If it lands on four, we say four. We write four. If two on two.
这个好像是笑话，又好像离我们不远。
And although it seems a joke, yet it's not very far from each of us.
什么叫做人的诡计？
What does it mean of the craftiness of man?
自己没有任何的立场。
There is no principles that one person stands by.
朋友，你在活在耶稣里福音网站收听节目。有多久了？如果你相信了主耶稣，生命得到造就，那么你愿意用金钱奉献， 来支持我们的福音事工吗？活在耶稣里事工是单单靠听众读者支持的非盈利机构，期待你通过祷告点击奉献支持，与我们一起来结出传福音的好果子。